5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Angel, how are you doing today? That is your new nickname, by the way. I'm a nicknamer.
I'm doing good.
You good with the nickname?
Yeah.
We're solid there?
I like it.
We're fine with it?
It's a new one for me, so I'll take it.
I'm big into that. This is why the Hooligans, you all have to create nicknames or you're going to get one from me.
I never had a lot growing up, so I'll take it.
Oh, is that a sad story or is that
no,
just...
No, it's just my name is so unique. Like whenever people hear,
yeah.
Oh, you're such an angel. I'm like, give me a break. I know.
Yeah. So you are an angel then?
I'd like to think so.
You're a pretty good dude.
Thank you.
You're a pretty good dude. You weren't on the show yesterday, so how you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
They lost. Are you okay with that? Do you feel okay?
I'm not one for moral victories, but I will definitely take that after last night. Just to go into the number eight team's own house in one of the best college basketball arenas ever and to stay with them for three-fourths of the game, even lead at a couple points, that's pretty impressive.
You know, this is where I know where your fandom is, because I was actually talking about Bama. And your fandom has changed. I think you are so into the UNC Bears right now. And that's awesome. That's great. Because I was talking about Bama, and look where your mind went. That's a test right there. Yeah. I set you up. I'm a psychologist.
No, definitely. I mean, if no one's going to talk about UNC, me and Jerry can do it.
Hey, we'll talk about you. What are you talking about here? Bodie Hume, Dalen Coates. Dalen's my guy. This dude, did you see that dunk he had, man? That was... Okay, yeah, they lose 101-76. This is why you have to watch games, though, if you really want to give an opinion on a game. I'm not saying you can't have an opinion on a game, but don't expect it to be, like, taken seriously if you're not watching. This game was much closer than what appeared to be, like, a 25-point game. They were within, I would say it was more like almost a 5-to-10-point game pretty much throughout. The Bears had five or six leads in the first half. Well, throughout the first half of this game. And your boy Dalen Coates just kind of lights it up against one of the best teams in the country. 33 points. He's already a candidate for my player of the week. And in a loss. Normally, I'm looking at wins. But this is one of those where I could definitely take Dalen Coates and put him in as one of my players of the week.
That was definitely good. I was listening to Jerry's call, but I was also tuning into the Pac-12 network because Bill Walton had the game, and he did it. He was so enamored with the Bears. He was going nuts over Greeley and talking about President Feinstein, and he was talking to athletic trainers and just gushing over this team. And guys like Dalen Coates and Matt Johnson and Drew Cookshausen out of nowhere in the second half
just went off.
Went off.
Yeah, just went off. That was cool. Good for the Bears. I think a lot of big things are in store for this team. So I'm excited. We'll be talking a little bit about that today, too. Angel, we got to get to the big story of the day. Dunt, 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 dunt. That's big story music. All right, here we go. Urban Meyer. Who saw that coming? Urban Meyer is done. He got not even 1 year. Oh, Susan and Cheryl like that. I take it, I guess he has more free time on his hands to go to bars. And Susan and Cheryl do frequent bars. And we all know that Urban Meyer likes to go to bars and dance with people. And that's that. I'm not going to get into too much detail.
Do I have the place for you, Urban?
Yeah. Do I? Susan and Cheryl treat you real nice there, Herbs. The Jaguars fire Urban Meyer. So what, like? He kicked the kicker? Is that true? What is he doing? What are we doing here?
It was like Urban Meyer walking to practice today, and it was a video of Antonio Brown kicking that Browns punter in the face.
What is happening here? I guess we should have been, you should have been alarmed when you bring in a tight end, Tim Tebow, to play tight end. Then he doesn't go home with the team. He says, I want to go to see my girlfriend's, family. You can see why those words sound the same. And then he gets caught on video doing that, and that was crazy. Then he says that his quarterback, who's like that poor guy, Trevor Lawrence. This is what sucks about this sometimes. Great quarterbacks go to die in certain organizations. He called him out at one point, saying, "Hey, my quarterback doesn't do quarterback sneaks." That was a big deal. And then calling his coaching staff clowns, saying his guys at BYU were, there's coaching staff better at BYU than here. So I, boy, this, and then of course kicking the kicker. What are we doing here? This just kind of goes to show you that the college game keeps these head coaches kind of safe. Their own little bubbles, you know, they're buying them houses and keeping them under control. You go to the NFL, it's like, dude, we ain't got time for that. You got to win football games here.
As forgiving as we are as fans of football, it's our biggest thing. We give so much to it, and we tend to give leeway to some people, but Urban Meyer is just a bad person.
It sure seems like it. Who do we got? We got
Dan Orlovsky.
I want to hear that clip. This is a good clip. Let's play that, Angel.
Number one, Urban Meyer's a bad dude. And then number two, in the NFL, Urban Meyer's a bad coach. That's why he got fired. You know, the saying that what you do in the darkness will always come out in the light is why Urban Meyer got fired. You reap what you sow. And obviously a lot of the conversation about Urban Meyer when he got hired and people trying to say of his college background that, hey, there's some red flags here. We should have paid attention to more. Shad Khan should have paid attention to more. He's obsessed with power. That does not fly in the NFL. It is a we over me type of mindset in the NFL. In college football, he always had power. Before NIL, he had power over players. He was obsessed with intimidation. He was always able to intimidate 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old players to do exactly what he wanted. And I would guarantee that there's players that he did stuff to or said stuff to that were just too scared to come out and say stuff because of his power. He never adjusted the NFL. He never adjusted his mindset in the NFL of you've got to kind of fight through losing while also striving towards winning. You lose more in the NFL than you ever did, or he did certainly in college. He's a finger pointer. He was always blaming everybody else. I never once heard him take accountability during his time as the Jacksonville Jaguars head coach. He inherited a poor culture in Jacksonville and made it worse in 6 months. But I think the most important thing is this. He's a bad dude, and he's a bad NFL coach.
That's pretty much it. I don't know how Shad Khan didn't, like, why, I thought the hire was interesting. Because a college transition to NFL is tough anyway. You know why? Because it's way different. Because a coach in college, it is about your reputation. It's about how you recruit. It's about, hey, my kid's chances to get in the NFL under you. I'm talking big-time head coaches, like at big schools. I'm looking at you going, hey, how does my guy get to the NFL? How do you give him the best stock and create the best draft stock for him? How do I win championships? How do we compete at a high level so his career's solid? You know, all those things are coming into play when you're dealing with a head college football coach. In the NFL, they've already arrived. They're making millions already. You're dealing with grown men that have families that are out for... Okay, I hear the Orlovsky thing is it's we, it's yes and no. I mean, these guys are still, it's all a business. They're still out for my family. How do I make more money? That kind of thing. This kind of crap that you're doing won't fly. Dancing up on, having a girl dancing up on you when you didn't fly home with the team and then coming out and apologizing. They're laughing at you, man. These aren't 18 to 20-year-olds. These are 24 to 34-year-olds. That are, hey, this is my career now. And you're out here dancing it up, screwing around, doing stupid things. You're kicking kickers. You're calling out our coaching staff. And this is my livelihood. This isn't, you know, I know you're making money regardless at Ohio State, but this is my livelihood. We are the Jacksonville Jaguars, and we're tired of being a joke, and here you are. I mean, this embarrassing report, man. This is absolutely crazy. I mean, look at all this. They're 2-11. They're just awful. He hired the strength and conditioning coordinator who had been accused of making racist remarks and bullying black players. He had the video with a woman who, I love how ESPN phrases it, who was not his wife. He had tensions building between staff and players. There was so much dysfunction. And now he kicked the former kicker, Josh Lambeau. Josh Lambeau alleged that Meyer kicked him in the leg while he was stretching in warm-ups before a practice during the week of the final preseason game. Sometimes I think of that and go, was that like a playful kick? Like, you know, kick him, kick it, man. Or did he go like, hoosh, 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 shah, make some kicks, loser? I mean, what are we doing here?
Like, just, I don't get why you would kick your kicker in the leg.
Right.
It's the only thing he's using to score points.
Yeah.
And you're going to kick him?
Yeah. It's nuts, man. It's a nutty world we live in, Urban Meyer. Don't forget, or do we want to forget, Urban Meyer was in Fort Collins 2 years ago and was paid, allegedly, to help you in your search to find Stephen Addazio.
Wasn't he on the rumor list for a new coach?
Well, he was like on the, to be real honest, he was on like the, oh, that's a pipe dream list. He wasn't, there wasn't an actual real rumor that he would be here. But that was kind of like, oh, this would be awesome. This would be great. But he had the connection with CSU. There's a lot of backstory there, too. A lot of backstory that I don't even want to get into today. But Urban Meyer's in Fort Collins, and we're all getting excited. They're going and talking about it, going to Sonny Lubick Steakhouse, eating with Joe Parker, President McConnell. It's all well and good. We're gonna get Steve Addazio here because Urban Meyer says so. Now that whole thing is just, I think Rams fans just want to like close their eyes and pretend it didn't happen. Because you see Addazio's last time as the CSU head coach, he's running off into the field getting ejected. And now Urban Meyer's doing all this. I don't want anybody that Urban Meyer is suggesting. That's just the way it is. That's what's become of this situation. Oh, boy. Hey, Brad, I like that. That's a good gif. So we need to change his name. We had a request for Star Fox. He has put in a formal request, Angel. He would like his nickname to be Stickman. That is what his name will be going forward. So figure out how to do that. He says, how does every team that the Nuggets play at home come in and shoot lights out? Did Minnesota break a record and like some guy that's like 5 years old went out and scored 4 million points? I mean, this was a stupid game last night. I was so frustrated watching this. Anthony Edwards made 10 three-pointers and scored 38 points to snap their 12-game losing streak to Denver, beating them 124-107. Carl Anthony Towns had 32. This was silly. Then Marcus Howard goes out with a lower left leg injury with 9 minutes to go. That didn't look good. Bones Highland was told not to come for violating team rules or whatever. So I don't know the details on that just yet. Come on, Bones. I know you're a rookie, but this team is depleted. They're relying on you. That's a bummer of a move. That was a bummer of a story to hear. Harrison Wind reporting that it was, because at first it was he would not play tonight. Nuggets didn't give a reason. Harrison Wind reporters later found out that it was because of violating team protocol. Whatever that is, I don't know how severe that might be or whatever, but that's what it is. This is crazy. This is absolutely nuts. Minnesota just comes in and works the Nuggets last night. Yeah. So you got a lot to get to. I got to get to signing day highlights. CSU absolutely won. UNC's got some players. I mean, again, I don't know. You never know till you know. Sometimes, especially in the FCS. FBS, you're seeing 3-4 stars, so you kind of get an idea. Okay. These are typically guys that are, what, 1-2s kind of star type players? Is that fair to say?
Well, UNC got a couple, like, 3-4.
Did they get a couple 3-stars?
3-4, 3-stars, yeah.
What stood out? They got a couple of quarterbacks.
That's my interest right now. I'm not sure what Dylan's status is going into next year, but there's definitely going to be a quarterback competition there. And they got a really good running back out of Parker, Bryce Vaz.
Yeah, they go
running backs in Colorado.
They go local, great stud there, stud running back. That's a big one. Some big wide receivers too. Texas, seeing a lot of Texas there. A couple of New Orleans.
Yep.
Does McCaffrey have some? Is that a Bobby Brister thing? I don't know. Where's McCaffrey's ties there?
Which is just the name, I guess.
I always look at that. I'm like, wonder how he was connected there. I'm always curious.
It's interesting because I think last year the defense was the strength of the team, so I think this new system will be offensive-focused, hopefully.
What's interesting in reading this, you know, CSU has not hired a defensive coordinator yet. CU has not hired their offensive coordinator yet. Well, that led them to recruit a certain way. So CU instead filled it up on the defensive side of the ball, while you saw CSU going offense. We knew they were going to go offense anyway. But also, Jay Norvell said, hey, we didn't want to go all in on defense because we don't have our coordinator yet. So we kind of want him to be a big part of that, and we'll use that for the second portion of signing day. 20 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. If you want to text the show, it's First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. We are just getting rolling today, man. It's a busy one. We got Mark Johnson coming up. I heard Tanner talking NIL. You know I love talking NIL and transfer portal and those kind of things. So we'll get to that. Power to Play Sports poll question. Are the Nuggets more of a play-in team this season? Or are they even a play-in team? We'll be right back.
Guy Brian Gary, weekdays at 3 p.m. on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to The Hall Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour, got to shout out to Rev Chiropractic, Dr. Tyler Terry, and Dr. Haley Harada. They are they're great people. I've been going there for the last year or so, and they've helped me out immensely. My back is good. It's finally good. It's to a spot where I've needed it to be, where I'm not feeling pain, and I'm sitting down, and I'm not constantly moving around and, you know, trying to situate. I remember once I'm driving home, before I started seeing Rev Chiropractic, I had a coffee cup, you know, like a nice coffee cup, and I was hurting so badly. I had to, like, put it behind my back in the car and just press up against it because I needed pressure. I needed some kind of relief. And I don't have to do that kind of stuff anymore. Rev Chiropractic, they've helped me out, and I appreciate them every step of the way. They're in Greeley off of 35th Avenue. You guys know where Home Depot is, off of Highway 34 and 35th Avenue. Stop by. Set something up. Set it up. Talk to them, and they'll assess you. They'll figure it out. That's Rev Chiropractic. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Yeah, CSU, pretty good day yesterday. Obviously, the highlights, you're going to go Clay Millen, the quarterback, another transfer from Nevada. And, whew, I think he's probably going to be the starter, right? He's going to be the guy. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do, what this offense is going to do. I don't think it's going to be like, one wide receiver is a stud. I think there's going to be a ton of them. I think they're going to spread this thing out. Clay Millen's going to be like Spider-Man, just throwing the ball all over the place. But look at this. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 wide receivers. And a big tight end, too. 6'5", 200 pounds. Out of Chino Hills, California. Norvell said he was going to be recruiting Fort Collins, California heavily. He did pretty good. He got a couple of guys from Inglewood, a wide receiver, Lewis Brown. Pasadena. Transfers from that were California, but going to Nevada. Just tons of California and Texas here. So I think a few Colorado guys, too. There's two more. There's a California Inglewood. There's an Inglewood, New York. Must like Inglewood. So I think overall, you got to be pretty excited if you're looking at this. I mean, again, this can all change. It's kind of like drafting players in the NFL. It's like when we sit down and we go over the draft and we all think, hey, this looks really good. I'm giving this team an A. Well, you can't really give them a real grade until you've at least seen some production. Looking at George Payton's draft class from last year with Patrick Surtain and Javonte Williams, 1 and 2, you can certainly say, hey, he's probably up there close to more like an A or a B. Those two guys have been solid players, extremely solid. So that's the way you kind of look at it with the recruiting class as well. But certainly some big names. McKee Fox, the wide receiver, that's a big one. 6'1", 190, the freshman out of Pasadena, California. That is a big name. He had a lot of big options, and he chose to come to Colorado State. So I'm pumped for that. You know, looking at some of the DBs, you did see a few more after the show yesterday. A.J. King, He was another transfer from Nevada. A lot of transfers from Nevada, which makes sense. So we're talking about the transfer portal, and we'll get into all that. But coaches have to roll with the times now. And what is Jay Norvell doing? He's using the transfer portal to his advantage. He's getting guys to come over from where he was that he put the work in to recruit. So sorry if you don't like it. Sorry if you're not into it. And a lot of these old school coaches are not, and I understand that. I do think it needs to be regulated a little bit. Yeah, I don't want it to be like I heard Coach Bruce Dick talking to Tanner this morning on NoCo Now. Fantastic, professional disagreement, I suppose. And I do think it needs to be regulated a little bit more. Yes, we can go there to the point where, you know, it can't just be I had a bad day of practice, I'm gone. Or I'm not liking my playing time. There is a difference. Like Ellison Hubbard, guy was a senior. He was going to, if he played in one more game, one more snap, then he would have not been eligible to play the next year. So basically CSU sits down with him and says, hey, you can sit out the rest of the year and try it next year. Or you can transfer. I mean, those are his options. And if I'm Ellison, I'm going, what's going to change next year? So I'm entering the portal. He should absolutely be able to enter the portal and then play that he's playing next year, obviously, because it was too far into the season to jump over, to jump ship. There is a limit, right? So I want to get into that a little bit later on. Let's talk to Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Let's talk about the Buffs signing day. They get some big names as well. The big, big name is Fairview's Grant Page, and we'll talk about that coming up. 31 minutes left, or 31 minutes after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Certainly a crazy day yesterday, just trying to follow all the teams that we cover here as far as signing day, transfer day, whatever day you want to call it. But a big kind of, you know, a couple of key points there for the Colorado Buffaloes, and on to talk to us about that, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffs. Mark, you were a little busy yesterday. So we moved this to today, of course. Yesterday was absolutely nuts. One of the big highlights, how about Fairview's Grant Page signing with the Colorado Buffaloes?
Yeah, that was awesome. I'm, in fact, the business continues. I'm talking to you from North Central Kansas right now. And I took a break in hunting pheasant just to talk to you. So that's how much
man,
you
that's when you know you're doing okay in life. You're to get you to take a break from that, Mark, I know is a big deal.
Yeah. But Paige flipping from Nebraska to Colorado, that was certainly a big deal, especially considering you went to Fairview High School. And so it's just down the street from campus, if you will, there, but in Boulder County. But yeah, that was big. The recruiting thing and National Signing Day is the lifeblood of college football, right? There's no question about that. We all, I think, as fan bases, whether you're, you know, in Boulder or Fort Collins or up in Cheyenne or wherever you're at, Tuscaloosa, doesn't matter, you're always excited about it, and you should be, you know. The reality is, most of the time, we're not sure what these kids are going to be for probably a couple of years for the most part. And I always think back to the great old and fans are going to remember Joe Tiller. Well, he was the head coach at Wyoming. I got to work with him at Purdue years ago, and he always said to me, one day I was a young, you know, Cub reporter, and I was talking to Joe Tiller about recruiting at that time for the Purdue Boilermakers, and he said, Mark, let me explain something. We go out and evaluate. We think we do a good job. And he said, and you bring kids in, and they've all got great potential. Truth of the matter is, when they come into campus in August, they shrink 2 inches, and they gain 2/10 in their 40 time. He said, so, you know, let's see if they develop. But, yeah, you know, everyone should be excited on the day after signing day because we've all got a bunch of new Buffaloes in there. And, you know, when you're up at Fort Collins, you got a new head coach and a staff and a new recruiting class. You got Colorado. You're hoping that Carl Durrell can continue to build what he's been working on. And so, yeah, a lot of excitement for all those college programs yesterday.
I think this is unique, Mark, because CU on one side still looking for the offensive coordinator. CSU on their side, they don't have a defensive coordinator. And right. I think both of them, I heard from Jay Norvell yesterday saying, hey, we didn't go they're going to go heavy on offense anyway, but we didn't go heavy on defense because we really want our defensive coordinator to kind of have a say. So the second portion of signing day, I'm sure we'll see more defensive players. Kind of the same type of situation, I'm guessing, right, for CU, where Carl Durrell's like, hey, you know, I know we need offense, but we kind of want our offensive coordinator to really have a hand in all that.
Well, yes and no. I do think that's more important on the offensive side than it would be from the defensive side. Now, you know, when you start getting into, if you're running, playing a four-man front or a three-man front, certainly the different types of defensive linemen that you're looking for can change in that regard. But I'll tell you this, the Buffaloes, if I'm not mistaken, I think had eight defensive and nine offensive guys, I think is what they ended up signing. And so, listen, good athletes are good athletes. You do wonder, and I was a little concerned about that, you know, without an offensive coordinator. And I do, like I said, like it's more important on that side of the ball because of the style offense you're going to have whenever that coordinator gets here, as much freedom as he's given, you know, from the head coach. Maybe the head coach is an offensive guy, like Carl Durrell's been an offensive guy. He's going to have some say over there. So, but you do wonder if sometimes players on that side of the ball, especially the skill position guys, may or may not want to sign if they don't know exactly what the system is going to be. Now, it didn't seem to affect anything with Colorado yesterday. They get Page, as you talked about. They got three wide receivers, all very big, 6'2", 6'3", type wide receivers. They got Victor Van, the running back, who appears to be an outstanding player out of Georgia. They got two offensive linemen, two very good-looking offensive linemen, one being Travis Gray, who was one of the top recruits coming out of the state of Colorado, 6'7", 295 pounds. And so, you know, they got some guys over there. And, you know, but they almost an equidistant or equal number, rather, on the defensive side, plus one specialist. So, yeah, it looks like to me like they certainly addressed a lot of needs, and they recruited across the spectrum of the kind of players they're going to be looking for.
I thought this was interesting, too, Mark, just looking at it, because we know they need help offensively. But I talked about this with the Broncos a few years ago, saying, hey, they got a good defense. I want to see them become great on yeah. one side of the ball, rather than let's even it out and just kind of be a middle-of-the-road team. So on one hand, you know, you can see where fans are going, hey, why aren't we getting more help offensively? But I kind of like saying, hey, we like our defense. Let's make our defense great and unstoppable and then just kind of whittle away at the offensive side.
Yeah. Well, I think there's something to be said about that. You know, the other thing is, the one thing, and I brought this up, we did that long couple-of-hour recruiting show yesterday with Carl Durrell and all the assistant coaches and had the former players on. And the one thing I said to Carl was, I would have to think, since the Buffaloes were one of the younger football teams in America, you could probably sit down with a lot of these recruits, the guys you were targeting, and say, you know, you've got an opportunity to come in and be part of this immediately. You can really play. Where if you've got a very junior and senior-heavy team, you know, there might be times where you don't have a lot of holes to fill in that regard. And so I think that was one of the selling points back for the Buffaloes was, hey, we are so young, and you saw it this year. You've got a chance to come in and be part of it right away where you can jump in, even as a young player. And we may not be talking to you about redshirting, or you might not be a guy that maybe sees limited snaps because of, you know, how veteran this football team is. So I think, you know, that was probably a selling point, I would think, for Carl Durrell and company.
So what else stood out to you, Mark? Obviously talking about Grant Page, but what else really, you know, I always look at it too, like a position count, and then I go, okay, this is where we're going to get heavy here. This is a position group that we're really going to see make an impact. What kind of things stood out to you yesterday?
Well, I just think, you know, the fact that they went out and took both Victor Van and Aubrey Smith, who's the middle linebacker they got out of Buford High School in Georgia. Those two were high school teammates. And I don't remember the numbers off the top of my head, but they went something like, you know, 44-3 or something in the last 3 years and won three consecutive high school championships at the 6A level in the state of Georgia. You got guys coming in with a high winning pedigree, you know, so I think that's one thing. I think that the size of the receivers in the corners, they signed three cornerbacks who are all over 6 feet tall, and three running, or rather receivers that I mentioned, were all in that 6'2 to 6'3 range, including Page. And so, you know, that's impressive. You got Josh McCown, the 18-year NFL quarterback son, Owen McCown, coming in, who is a pretty highly regarded quarterback, and comes from great pedigree, obviously, with the way his father was in the NFL for so long. And so I think there were a number of things that kind of stood out to me that you know, make it feel good. Now, here's the other interesting thing, Brady, about recruiting right now. Because this is the early signing day, and now we've got the traditional signing day, which comes up in February, and now with the transfer portal, you got a third aspect to this. And so that's why I've been telling, you know, all the interviews I've been doing, I've been telling, you know, fans out there of the program, you don't panic just because you think, oh, we didn't address this need or that need. It used to be February rolled around. If you didn't address the need, guess what? You weren't going to. Now December rolls around. That's where the bulkier kids comes from. They're already recruiting for that second wave, which is going to come in February, and they're already combing the transfer portal. And so there really are three different opportunities now to fill needs, and especially with the transfer portal, you can get very specific. You can find a veteran guy who can come in and plug a hole. And so it really is kind of an interesting process we're going through now in college athletics, where it's not just that one day we get all excited and goodness gracious, I think we answered everything or we didn't answer anything. Now, heck, you got two more opportunities. And one of them is a day that happens in February. The other is just a process we're going to go through over the next, probably month and a half here. Through the transfer portal, almost like, NFL free agency. It goes along those same lines. And so that's why the whole thing has changed here in recent years now.
Yeah, and I know you and I have talked so much about it. And in principle, I tend to agree with, I like the transfer portal, but as you and I have talked about so much, I do think it needs to be regulated a bit more. I do think that, commitments, I think those have to mean something. National intent, I don't like national intent. I like National Signing Day. And if you sign, you're there. You better present. Like, I think you got to make it more of a process for these student athletes is, hey, you got to come now, you got to present in front of whatever why you want to leave. And I know some people don't like that as much, but I like the transfer portal, but I don't think we should be able to leave just because, oh, there's 8 wide receivers on the roster. Well, I'm never going to make the team. I think we got to be careful there, but I do like it in principle.
Well, I think, and there's some pros and cons on every side of what you're talking about there. The one thing that I think is important. Now, think of the Faulkner kid who came in from, was it Western or Central Michigan, came to be part of Tad Boyle's basketball program. He was on campus for about 3 months. He gets here, had an injury, so the university, paid for the operation that he had, and he was getting money and all the things that you get when you're on campus over summer school, and then decided before fall semester got underway, he left and went to Louisville. Okay? That kind of stuff shouldn't be allowed. It seems to me there has to be some commitment on the athlete's side as well, because once you have committed and you sign the paperwork, guess what? The scholarship is yours. Well, they've got to commit on the commitment on the other side as well. So there's got to be some regulations there. If you hit the portal and you sign with somebody else, you should have to stay 1 year then. There's got to be some commitment. This just can't be willy-nilly, I could leave whenever I want. This isn't dating, for goodness sakes, where I can try you out and then go out to somebody else. There's got to be some commitment in this. And so I think that's an adjustment that needs to take place moving forward. Going to be very hard to police if you start getting into, we've got a board that's going to decide why we're going to allow you to leave. Well, you got to be careful there because, there might be circumstances that we don't know about. And so I just think there's got to be some accountability on both sides here. If you commit to us, we have to honor our scholarship for a year, but then you have to honor it as well. You can't just leave after 3 or 4 months. We've already spent money on you and put an investment into you, and all of a sudden you decide, no, I want to go someplace else. That shouldn't be the case either. And so I think there's some adjustments that have to be made from a transfer portal standpoint moving forward, because both sides have to be responsible.
I agree 100%. I think that there's, like you said, there's pros and cons to both of it. Either way we want to slice it, this is the world now. So finding a way to better balance it, to better regulate. I look at Jay Norvell for CSU. He's using it 100% to his advantage today. He's not, I'm sure he's experienced on the other side. But then you go over to Nevada, and, I mean, do they even have a football team? I mean, they might have to get guys off the streets. I mean, Reno, they might have to go to Vegas and get Wayne Newton on this team. I mean, this is how bad it is in Nevada. So you've got two situations right there where you say, okay, I can see the plus and the negative.
And part of that as well, if all of a sudden half your roster is going to follow a coach, I've got some problems with that as well. And that goes into a broader conversation that we need to have about coaches and the ethics and morals of this kind of thing. And so I do have some problems if I'm a coach and I leave a program and I'm just going to go and, rob half the players that I like off that roster because I was close to them. But, that's a little bit dangerous as well right there. And so I think there are a lot of lines about this that I'm not a big fan of at this point, and we're still in that kind of gray area where we're sifting through it, trying to figure out exactly what the right balance is. And so that's something I'm sure over the next few years we're going to see some adjustments to by the NCAA.
That's what's interesting, right, Mark? And I know you got to go, but now when you lose a coach, you might not be you're not just losing a coach. You're going to go, oh, great. That's also our top three players are probably going to go away. If you lose him on good standing, like he goes somewhere else and upgrades, you're thinking, okay, bye bye coach, bye bye top 3, 5, who knows, 10 players.
It could be, but. It's an aspect of this, like I said, that I'm a little uncomfortable with at this point in time. The other thing we're finding out, and the reality of this from a student-athlete standpoint, I've been kind of tracking some of the buffs that decided to you know, decide to hit the transfer portal, and you're not seeing many guys moving up or even lateral. I mean, there's a lot of steps down. I just saw just on Twitter, he just announced it himself, Levante Chenault just announced he just received in a scholarship offer from the University of Incarnate Word. Okay, that's not a football power,
right?
Okay? And so you're learning. There's a hard lesson to be learned by a lot of these guys. Everyone's thinking, I'm always going to get the same kind of offer. Well, let me explain something to you. When you're 17 years old, you're in high school, what they're betting on is potential, okay? That's a lot. We don't know what this young man's going to become. We think he can become something special. So right now they're recruiting you on potential. Once you've played a couple of years of college football, we've seen your potential. Now we know what you are. And so the value changes. And that's one thing I think there's a hard lesson. A lot of, you know, Spencer Rattler was going to get an opportunity no matter what. He left Oklahoma. He's going to get an opportunity. He goes to South Carolina. We understand that. But the vast majority don't end up that way. The vast majority, when you hit the portal, you're leaving for a reason, and all of a sudden your value is not potential. Your value is we know exactly what you are after a couple of years, and the value in the market changes. And guys are finding out the reality of that, and all of a sudden going, holy cow, this isn't exactly what I thought it was going to be. And so I think as time goes on, the wisdom of young players will start to change in terms of what this means and how it unfolds. And, boy, is it really going to be smart for me to jump? And then every year, the untold story about this, Brady, is how many young men hit the portal and then don't get an offer and went from being on a full-ride scholarship now to being out there by themselves, not having the offers. And all of a sudden, if they want to go back to college, guess what? You're going to pay for it yourself.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. There are just so many avenues with this. It's really a fascinating discussion at the end of the day, just looking at so many different sides of this. Mark, appreciate you, my man. Hey, we got to let you go because you took your time to be with us here.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, you got work to do.
I got, I'm just looking at the field. I'm just about to walk here in just a moment. It's a beautiful day here in Kansas. And yeah, I'm going to go chase some birds right now.
I wish you the best of luck, my friend. As always, send me a picture. I like seeing your catches because I can never do anything like that. So,
All right, buddy.
All right, man. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. I caught a mouse in the window well the other day, so that was kind of cool. Not cool, actually. Angel, I'm deathly terrified of mice. I don't know if you knew that.
Was it dead?
It was not dead.
Oh.
Jumping all over down there. And nope, it's somebody else that I know came down and got it. That's all I'm going to say. It was not my wife. I didn't make my wife do it. I didn't lower my 3-year-old down there to get it. But somebody that was hanging out with us was like, yeah, I'm cool with getting mice out. And I was like, thank God, because that poor little guy's dying down there if you don't do this. I want to read some of your texts when we come back. 12:51 the time. Let's see. We'll get to it in a moment. A lot of Norvell stuff, a lot of transfer portal stuff, a lot of NAL stuff. We'll get to it. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Northern Colorado's voice and your home for the Denver Broncos is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Wow, busy first hour. Got a lot to get into in the second hour. I want to talk about the Nuggets. I want to talk Broncos, Bengals. A little more on Urban Meyer. We got Chiefs and Chargers tonight. Big Thursday night game. I want to get to some of your texts as well. On the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043, 888-530-0043. The Power to Play Sports poll question is up at thewholeshow.com. Are the Nuggets more of a play-in team? Are they a playoff team? Are they even a play-in team at this stage? Or are they a playoff team? Now, I say this, be a top six team, and you're in the playoffs easily. Play-in, you got a little work to do. Is that where the Nuggets are at this point? Somebody sharing a tweet with me, Pillow Fight Dan, and I'll read that on the other side. Keep the text coming. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.